Do you feel like you say the same words over and over again, that you're not really using new vocabulary, or maybe you're a little bit jealous of your colleagues who seem to have all these interesting words that you don't? Well, today I'm going to focus on some common areas where I see people repeat the same vocabulary again and again and again, and give you a couple of ways where you could make it a little bit more interesting, vary it a little bit, and also sound a little bit more advanced, a little bit more natural, which is what you tell me often you are after. So we are going to focus on that today, and that is inspired by a few clients who really want to work on that. So this is the inspiration behind this episode. And don't forget to stay until the end, because I'll be telling you about a word, structure, or phrase that hardly anybody uses, but everybody should. So stay around for that. And welcome to Ana with Two N's English podcast. Are you a Spanish speaker? Do you want to learn business English, new things, words, vocabulary, avoid common mistakes, so that you can be more confident speaking English at work? Well, if you do, then you're definitely in the right place. My name is Anna and I am a business English coach. I'm originally from the UK, but now I'm based in Madrid and I am an expert at working with Spanish speakers. And after teaching hundreds of professionals just like you, this podcast is your weekly session with me, where I share with you my exclusive business English tips, guidance, and advice that you can put into practice the minute you finish listening to the episode. Now, if you want to put a face to the name, you can find me on Instagram at Anna2EndsEnglish. And if you'd rather not bother with my face, but just hear more of my voice, you can also find me as a co-host on another podcast, which is called the Coolips Everyday English Podcast. And within that, I am a co-host on the Chatterbox episodes alongside my lovely co-host Andrew, who is Canadian and living in South Korea, which is really interesting. And on that podcast we talk about lots of different topics, current trends, things that are happening right now. So it's a really, really nice complement to my podcast, and you can get transcripts and study guides if you become a member. So I'll leave the links to that in the description box, and if you're interested, check it out. It's really, again, like my podcast for intermediate and advanced listeners, so that those are the people that are really going to benefit from that and be able to follow that. Lots of expressions, lots of very colloquial language, so a really, really, really nice compliment, if I say so myself. Anyway, back to the topic for today. A lot of my clients really worry about vocabulary. They're like, there's all these words that I'm not using that everybody else uses. I sound basic. And it's interesting because when, as a teacher, and I've mentioned this before, you have a really unique view, right? Because you see many different people speaking English. So you have more of a kind of overview or big picture view of how people speak English. And I never really share their view. So even though they think that they don't use very advanced vocabulary, actually for me, I'm like, oh, they can actually speak really well. So it's often a point where people tend to be slightly overcritical about it. But it is true that there are occasions when I work with people and I think, okay, we could polish that a little bit. And by polish, I mean, polish is like, it's a cleaning, it's a chore. I mean, you know, not something very interesting, but to polish something is like to shine it, to, you know, make it more shiny and nice. So to polish something in a figurative sense means to kind of make something a little bit better, a little bit smoother, a little bit more professional, sharp. I'm not really hitting the nail on the head here, but I think you catch my drift, right? So there are some common areas I see where people can, you know, they're not doing themselves justice necessarily with the words that they're using. Like, they could make a couple of changes that would sound a little bit more natural, perhaps a little bit more advanced, especially when they're working in a professional context. So I'm going to focus on some really, really specific examples, okay, today. Obviously, this is only the tip of the iceberg. I'm going to start with, first of all, talking about an area around opinion, which comes up a lot, okay? We often have to give our opinion work for many different things, ideas, proposals, whatever. So it's actually a really common thing that a lot of people have to do in English. So a lot of people just go with the classic, which is, I think, okay? Or, you know, you could throw in an in your opinion, from my perspective, from my point of view. All of those are fine. And I want to reiterate actually as well that by giving you these more advanced ways of saying things, I'm not saying that you have to use them. And in fact, I've got another episode, which is a few back, which talks about the fact that actually sometimes using sophisticated vocabulary is not always better. Number one, because it's better to be simple and just get to the point. And also you need to think about your audience, because if you use a word that you think the majority of people in the room wouldn't be able to understand, well, that doesn't really help you, does it? Okay, it might make you feel better because you're like, oh, I used this amazing sophisticated word, but nobody actually understood what you said. So you haven't really done your job, right? So you don't have to use them. These are options if you feel that you want to try them out. So a lot of people go for the I think, okay, yeah, great, I think that, I believe that, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to give you a different one, which is not exactly a synonym because it has a slightly different, it's a little bit nuanced, it's slightly different, which is I reckon. Now you may have heard this, reckon, R-E-C-K-O-N, and it's kind of like the cousin of think, I guess. But I said it's not a straight swap. And I guess with I reckon, it has slightly less conviction than with think. So I reckon that in the end, they aren't going to take the deal, for example. Or I reckon that by the end of the week, it will be finished. Okay, so you're kind of talking here with a little bit less conviction than we'd think. For example, let's compare the two. I think that by the end of the week, the proposal will be finished. Or I reckon that by the end of the week, the proposal will be finished. So it's kind of a little bit more, less conviction, I think is the best way to get it across. It's really, really common in kind of informal situations. We could also use it in the negative as well. I don't reckon it will be a problem. Okay, I don't reckon it will be a problem. I don't reckon that we're going to see any issue with this. So again, it's not necessarily a straight swap for think. It throws in there a little bit less conviction, but it's a really, really nice natural, especially, I mean, I have to say that I'm coming here from a British English lens. Obviously, it's kind of hard for me to wear an American English hat because I'm not American, right? So you have to remember that's where I'm coming from as well. So it's very British English, I think. We could also use it to talk about forecasting or predicting as well, because we're sort of giving our ideas of what we think is possible. You know, I reckon that by the end of the year, you know, the project will be finished, or I don't reckon we'll be finished by the end of the year. So we can also use it in that context as well. It is more informal, so I would like to make that very clear. If you were in a more formal context or setting, it might not be the most appropriate fit, but it's definitely a good one to throw in there for your kind of business casual conversations, everyday conversations with colleagues, that type of thing. Okay, so moving on. As I said, again, I'm using very, very specific examples. What I'm not going to do is sit here and give you a list of 100 vocabulary swaps, because there's no way you're going to be able to digest that, right? So I'm trying to be really focused here. And that brings me nicely into my next one, which is about focus on. I didn't plan that, by the way, that just happened. But one thing I hear a lot or people repeat a lot is focus on, we're going to focus on, we were focused on. And, you know, it can get a bit repetitive. But as I said before, it does what it says on the tin. It's simple, it's straightforward, it's to the point. Okay, so there's nothing wrong with focus on. That's what I'm trying to say. But if you want to think of a different way to say it, I'm going to tell you about one that I really like. I don't know why, but you know when you really like a certain word or a certain thing? I really like this one. You might have heard it. It's a little bit trendy, maybe. But rather than saying, I want to focus on, you could say, I want to zone in on. zone in on three-part phrasal verb. Well, three-part phrasal verb. It's got three elements. And it means, again, to focus or concentrate on something. And okay, again, it might not be a complete straight swap for focus on. And by all means, please, I'm not saying that you should swap all your focus ons for zone in on. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is you could add a little bit of variety. So every time that you want to use focus on, maybe you could think about using something different, but you don't need to replace it completely. Okay. I see a lot of things saying, stop saying this. That's not my message. My message is, why don't you try this as well? It's also really good zone in on when you're talking about highlighting. So one thing that I've noticed that people struggle to do a little bit in English, and I understand why, because I'm going to take an example of a client that I'm working with right now. They have to do a presentation where they have to give a lot of information and a lot of data. And they do a really, really good job at that. I mean, it really impressed me the way they were able to go through the report. However, one thing that we're working on right now is, how can I tell people what are the really important things? Because you're giving me a lot of data, you're giving me a lot of information, a lot of facts. But when I come away from that, I'm thinking, okay, but what do you want me to know? Like, what was the key takeaway? So one thing that sometimes I think gets a little bit lost when people speak in English is, what are the important things? But I understand, because number one, you're thinking about, what on earth am I saying, right? So you're working super hard because you're just trying to tell people the information that you've got. But it's definitely one thing to think about that I've noticed. Okay, so if you feel yourself, you're like, okay, I'm just streaming off data here. Okay, data is only so good, but you've got to tell people, like, what's the important things? So one of the ways you could do that is with this phrase. For example, what I really want to zone in on is that. For example, what I really want to zone in on is that, you know, last month our sales dropped by 20%, for example, or that we could potentially see some opportunities in the future, or that there is potentially a lot of work that needs to be done here. I don't know, whatever. It depends on your industry, sector, job, whatever. So it's another way that we could say focus on. And I really like it. It's good. Zone in on. I want to zone in on this. Again, it's not a straight swap for focus on, but it's something that's a little bit different that you could use in some contexts. So I like that one around focusing. All right, next up, a really nice phrase that you can use at the start of your sentences when you're talking about reflecting in the past. Now, actually, this is something that tends to come up when people are talking about lessons learned, so things that have already happened that they want to reflect on, like what went well, what didn't go well, what should we have done, what could we have done differently. And you may have heard of this term hindsight, H-I-N-D-S-I-G-H-T, hindsight. And the phrase I want to show you is in hindsight. So this is a way that you can start your sentence. And the reason I want to share this with you is because, well, nobody really uses it, but it's a really nice way to introduce reflections and ideas from the past that you could have done differently. Because I guess probably what most people would do and what I've heard people do is like, I think we could have, or I think we should have. Okay, it's fine. Again, no problem with that. But let's try and push ourselves a little bit and challenge ourselves to use something new. So in hindsight, so I guess the way that I would translate that, because I know it's useful to have a translation sometime, is in retrospectiva. In hindsight, I think we should have started earlier. Or in hindsight, we could have maybe done a little bit more at the beginning. So you'll notice here how it's a really nice fit with those past modal structures, like they go hand in hand together. In hindsight, I think if we hadn't acquired this company, we wouldn't have the problems that we have now. It also works really well with third conditional. So in hindsight, it's two words, basically. I really love that one. In fact, it would have been a good one to use for my take note section, which is a word nobody uses, but everybody should. But it's also a really nice piece of vocabulary that I like to share with my clients when they're talking about lessons learned, etc. Now, the last one I want to do very quickly just before we move on to the take note session today is to talk about reasoning. Now, giving reasoning, there's lots of ways people do this: because of, due to the fact that, due to, the reason why. And actually, people make a lot of mistakes with that one because they say the reason for. Okay, because you're thinking por qué or the por eso, and it gets a little bit messy. So the reason why, you can also say the reason behind something. But I want to focus on actually something which I mentioned a couple of podcasts ago in my take note section, which was hence, H-E-N-C-E. So this is a really nice way to express reasoning, and it's a little bit more advanced, I would say. Sounds great, and I'm going to give you a couple of examples. And I'm going to relate it back to the price rises at the moment and inflation and all that jazz. So there's a war at the moment, hence the price rise across a lot of different industries and sectors. Okay, now I'm generalizing massively. I know there's other factors at play, but I'm just trying to give you an example. Okay, or we could say there is a war in the world right now, hence why prices have risen so much. So it's kind of another way to say as a consequence of, or por eso. And I'm going to give you a couple of other examples as well, so you can see it in context. We were getting really bad reviews from our customers, hence why we changed the strategy. Or we could say something like, the market was changing a lot, hence why we decided to take a different path. Or productivity was really low, hence why the company decided to bring workers back to the office. Okay, so again, we could kind of substitute that for as a consequence. So productivity is low, and as a consequence of this, the company wants to bring the workers back to the office. So you can kind of substitute it for that as well. But you can see there that hence why uses two words, and as a consequence of uses four. So it's a little bit more concise also as well, which is a nice a benefit. Because remember, in English, and I always have to remind people of this, because Spanish is spoken differently than English. In Spanish, it tends to be more complicated in the way you express things, and how to sound more sophisticated tends to go, there's a kind of a correlation with sounding more sophisticated and the more complex. Whereas actually in English, especially in business English and communicating at work, short and sweet, simplicity is best. Get to the point in as few words as possible is definitely how we rate. And by rate, I mean value something as really good or assess something as being really good. If something's very simple and it gets to the point, it's very impressive in English. So I always advise people to try and be more concise rather than overcomplicate things. So you'll notice I'm just going to go through some of those sentences there as well. So we were getting bad reviews, hence why we changed the strategy. Now, of course, that kind of gives the reasoning the other way around, because normally you might say, well, we changed the strategy because we were getting bad reviews. So with hence, you've kind of got to change it around, because you've got to put the outcome first and then the reason. So we were getting bad reviews, hence why we changed the strategy. So we got to have the outcome and then the action, rather than the action and then the outcome, right? Which would maybe be used with because of. I'll explain again. The market was changing a lot, hence why we decided to take a different path. Whereas you could say, obviously, we decided to take a different path due to the fact that the market was changing a lot. So it's kind of like the other way around, okay, which might make it a little bit more complex to use. But a really, really nice one, I think, to add to your vocabulary if you're looking to expand how you express yourself with reasonings. And again, a super important skill, because we're often giving reasons behind why we've decided to do things and answering the question why or how come. So a very nice one to add in there. Right, well, let's finish up. Now that we've done our main topic, let's have a look at the take note section of today, where I give you a word or structure or phrase that hardly anybody uses, but everybody should. And I'm just going to very quickly highlight a word that a lot of people actually know, but they don't feel comfortable using, which is to make the most of something. Aprovechar algo. Now, I find that many people are very comfortable with to take advantage of, which is kind of like its sister or brother or cousin or whatever. but people don't really use make the most of. And I'm not really sure why, because it's very, very common. Now, you might ask, what's the difference between to take advantage of and make the most of? Well, sometimes there's not really a difference, actually. Sometimes we can use them pretty much interchangeably and synonymously with each other. However, there is a key difference. To take advantage of something is to maximize something, okay, to exploit something in a positive way, but it also has the flip side, which it also does in Spanish, of exploiting a weakness in somebody, or, you know, kind of seducing somebody with like negative intentions. So to take advantage of something has a positive and negative meaning depending on the context, whereas to make the most of something is always positive. So it always has a positive connotation, and it means that you are maximizing your limited resources in a clever way. So I'm going to give you some examples here. Imagine that you had a meeting in your calendar and at the last minute it was cancelled, and you decide to make the most of the free time and catch up on some emails or catch up on some work that you haven't had the chance to do so far. Or maybe you have family that are visiting and you're like, do you know what? I'm going to take the day off and make the most of the time that I have with them because I don't see them very often. And again, you could use take advantage of as well, but you could also use make the most of, and people use this one less, which is what I kind of want to get across here. Or here's another example. Imagine that you get COVID, okay? You've gone to a conference, you get COVID for whatever reason, and rather than, you know, kind of moping around and being like, oh, poor me, feeling sorry for yourself, you make the most of the downtime and you do loads of reading or you do some extra work that you need to catch up on. So to make the most of something is to maximize your resources in a clever way, your time, etc. And there's also an expression which is closely related, which is to make the most out of a bad situation. So in summary, what I think you should do is try to use make the most of and take advantage of. Don't just always use take advantage of, because make the most of can be a really nice way to express aprovechar also as well. I really hope you enjoyed the episode today. And if you want even more exclusive business English content from me that I don't share anywhere else, then you can sign up to my newsletter. If you sign up to my newsletter, you're going to be the first people to hear about all my courses and programs that I will be offering. And I also send a monthly PDF, which has loads of bonus content related to the podcast. And people go crazy for the bonus PDF. So don't miss out. And the link to sign up to the newsletter is in the description box. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you very, very soon. And I hope you have a great week. Bye-bye.